We pray. Good Shepherd, guide us ever onward. Hold us close to your all-loving heart, for we have no strength in and of ourselves, but with you we are safe. Your love endures forever. Guide us. Let the light of your word ever shine brightly in our hearts and lives, that we might live for you. In Christ our Savior. Amen. One lesson I've learned from COVID-19 is how much our lives are controlled by viruses and governors and people outside of ourselves. Should Governor Pritzker continue the home confinement, or should he open businesses, churches, and schools? Are we being protected or abused? To whose voice should we listen? Among all the conflicting opinions, it is hard to know who to trust. When the Pharisees and teachers of the law tried to silence Jesus and confuse the people with their lies, Jesus declared that his truth always trumpets louder in the hearts and lives of his people. Those who belong to God listen to God, and those who do not belong to him don't listen to him. Jesus says that there will be false teachers trying to get at the sheep, but our Savior is stronger than Satan's messengers. Jesus described the Pharisees as sheep stealers. We read, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Sometimes I wonder whether Jesus' pictures lose their punch for us 21st century Americans. I imagine that guy's climbing over a wall to get at a bunch of sheep doesn't push our panic buttons. But in those days, stealing sheep would have been as serious as stealing cattle in the Wild West. Maybe if we rephrase Jesus' analogy, we would appreciate the danger that Jesus is talking about. Imagine that Jesus had used the picture of our kids rather than sheep, and of a child molester rather than sheep stealer. After all, Jesus' concern is not about the four-legged sheep, but about the two-legged sheep of God's pasture. His analogy might have sounded like this: "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the child's home by the door, but climbs in through a window, is a child abuser and a murderer. The man who enters by the front door is the savior of his children. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the children listen to his voice. He calls his own children by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his children follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the door for the children. All whoever came before me were child abusers and murderers. But the children did not listen to them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find the good life. The child abuser comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Satan is that spiritual child abuser who wants to torture everyone in hell. It is not okay that there are hundreds of conflicting ideas about what the Bible is, who God is, and what kind of relationship we can have with God. That is the work of Satan. God does not have 1,000 different messages for different groups of people. Jesus wants us to open our eyes to the danger all around us. False teachers try to butcher us with their lies. What would we do if we found a molester climbing through a bedroom window? We would fight like crazed animals to stop him from kidnapping our child. Satan tries to climb in the window of our churches and homes through renegade clergy, through social pressure, and through our own sinful natures. We train our children not to take candy from a stranger. But clergy, family, friends, and our own inner voices come to us as dear friends. They offer us the sweet candy of deadly lies. Their intoxicating drugs tell us to be our own God. As enlightened Americans, we don't talk about sin. We talk about poor choices. Don't worry about judgment day in hell. Heaven is for all religions and even those who have no religion. No matter what you believe, and even if you don't believe anything, God takes all people to heaven. Doctors of divinity teach that Jesus did not come to sacrifice himself to save us, but to teach us how to love ourselves and to be better versions of ourselves. The deadly virus that has swept through churches and homes in our world is that the Bible is nothing more than religious fiction. Our feelings, our spirituality, our opinions are much more valid and dependable than anything in Scripture. These lies kill eternally. A different poison that is offered a spoonful at a time to the children of God is that our good deeds are what save us from our bad deeds. To give it the appearance of being God's truth, Jesus' name is mentioned when they say, "Yes, Jesus saved us, but we have to be deserving of his mercy and salvation." Death rolls off their lips when they say that simple faith in Jesus is not enough for salvation. They insist that we need to prove our love, prove our good character and worthiness. They say that Jesus doesn't just give away his forgiveness as a gift free of charge. He only gives it to those who merit it. These kidnappers would like to lock the children of God away in a torture chamber of guilt and despair. How much money needs to be paid? How many prayers need to be said? How many worship services need to be attended? How many whips need to tear through our backs? How many days living in a tortured life without spouse or children? How many pilgrimage kissing relics, or how many days in purgatory must one endure in order to pay for one sin? There is never an end. Jesus revealed the heart of the Pharisees and of the false teachers today when he said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." But notice why Jesus left his throne in heaven and wrapped himself in human flesh. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus spelled out clearly what he came to do. Jesus is our life, and it's fantastic. He came to give us life, not just a little life, the gigantic, brilliant, fantastic life. Do our lives seem fantastic? God told the Corinthians, we are hard-pressed, but not crushed, struck down, but not destroyed. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. Have you known someone who suffered a stillbirth? They would do anything to be able to call their baby back to life. While our bodies were born alive, our souls were born dead, separated from God in the darkness of unbelief. Jesus came to give us life. He destroyed the sin that had destroyed us. He won the salvation for the Holy Spirit to give us. God's word calls our cold, still, lifeless souls to life, to breathe the sweet air of his forgiveness, to move and kick and dance as the new children of God. In this world, we don't get to choose our parents. We belong to whoever gave us birth. So God has given us new birth into a living hope. We belong to him. We are his children, created by him. Jesus described an important detail in the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. He calls his sheep by name. Parents, you gave your children their name, their identity. Jesus has given us a new name, a new identity. He has written his name upon our hearts. Parents, have you ever called one of your children by their brother or sister's name? Jesus never mixes up our names. He calls us each by name because he personally, individually, and intimately loves each one of us. Do we hear him calling our names when we are listening to his word? Jesus says he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. This world has a buffet of toxic elixirs, all promising a fantastic life. Parents, how are the children of God to remain safe and not be duped by the ways of this world? Jesus goes on ahead of his flock. He leads his children by the light of the word. Jesus doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves. When the West was being settled, pioneers cut trails through the mountains to the West. Stay on the trail, was the call. To wander off of the trail meant certain death. We live in a world of wild animals, tar pits, steep cliffs, bottomless ravines, and cold-blooded killers. Delicious wickedness calls from the shadows for us to sneak away from Jesus. But our Savior walks the path in front of us and keeps us safe on our journey to heaven. Jesus calls out danger when he sees sin and shows us how terrible each sin is. His commitment of love lifts us up. He holds us in his arms. He carries us across the deep rivers of troubles to dry ground. His water of life gushes out of his book to refresh us in the dry wilderness. His supernatural presence with us gives us strength for each day's journey and rest each night. His glorious ascension keeps our hearts yearning to ascend to the promised land. When the American settlers reached California, they were stunned by the grandeur and beauty of the ocean. So we have arrived and are in awe. We have a fantastic life in our Jesus. Our Savior gives us peace that reaches down into the depths of our heart. The fact that we are His fills us with a joy that is more beautiful than the ocean's shore. He loves us more than any human ever could. The light of His Word makes us wise beyond this world, content beyond our problems, and eternally hopeful. Jesus is our life, and it's fantastic. There is no mystery as to what will happen for the children of God when they die. Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Jesus gave His life in order to prepare a home for us in heaven. He has promised, "I will be with you always as you journey through this wilderness." He said, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." How blessed we are that Jesus is our doorway, our gate, to the paradise that He has prepared for us in heaven. Jesus has come that we may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants us to live the full, rich, and wonderful life, but not the full life of our sinful nature. That only leads to sin, death, and shame. The full, fantastic life is found in Jesus, in His love, truth, power, and peace. Jesus is our life, and it's fantastic. Amen.